Interesting title to the message, and some of you may be going, what kind of hillbillies eat crow? Now, I figure probably the Beverly Hillbillies probably did, but have you ever eaten crow? Not physically, you've not done that, but probably at one point or another, you have eaten crow. What does it mean to eat crow? Now you're not going to fess up that you had to. It was something was said or proclaimed by you, and later it came back that you were absolutely wrong. We have been taking a look at the post-resurrection ministries of Jesus Christ. And one in the post-resurrection ministry that was involved with Jesus, one of them ended up eating crow. And all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful in teaching, reproving, it's good for doctrine, it's good for you. So this guy in scripture that has to eat crow is actually a benefit to you, because honestly, he does give us hope. We're going to find how Peter liked eating crow. I want to take us a little bit backwards to before the crucifixion, because it sets the stage as to what Peter got involved with. And I think we know it, but I think it's also good to take a look at it and actually look and see what Scripture says about the night before, the chaos that was involved. And as much chaos as took place at the crucifixion and before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, none of it took God by surprise. Matter of fact, it was all in His plan. We need to take a look at it. Would you please turn, as we begin, turn to Matthew. That's easy to find. Matthew chapter 26. We'll spend a couple minutes here and then make our way to someone that ate crow. Matthew chapter 26. Make your way to verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all," how many? All. "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And then I have underlined, "All the disciples said the same thing too." You see, I think these disciples are in a very difficult position. They're under a microscope, and we look at them and we go, "Oh, shame on Peter. Peter said, I will never deny you." But what we don't recognize is all of the disciples agreed. All of them agreed. It was a joint effort. And we pick on Peter because he's the one that just talked before he throws his brain in gear. But he's saying, "Lord, I will never deny you." We give Thomas a bad rap. He doubted. "Unless I see the nail print or his side, I will never believe." But we fail to picture the week before when Jesus walked into that locked room. What did Jesus do when he got into the locked room? He went to all the disciples except Thomas, who was not there, and what did he do? And then we pick on Thomas because we go, "What kind of person is this?" We pick on Peter because he's the one that got out of the boat and took his eyes off of Jesus and sank into the water. Shame on Peter, except he's the only one that got out of the boat. See, there's some great value. Now, granted, you know Peter by this point, and you know when Peter made this proclamation, he meant it. But then in come life. and in come real world situations. And we know what happened to Peter. Drop down to verse 69. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But then life kicked in. But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he had gone out of the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately, rooster crowed. God is very consistent. He is absolutely consistent. And when we find something in Scripture that is like Peter, we need to sit up and take notice of it, because it's there for a purpose. This is one of the inner circle that Jesus had, and he now proclaims in front of the disciples, "I will never deny you." He did it in front of the disciples. That may be something key for Peter later on. Have you ever really messed up in life? Have you ever really made a mess of something? What happens usually with a mess is that when you try to cover the mess up, it gets worse. And then what you have to do is start fabricating so that you can cover up the mess. Fabricating is called something really simple. We lie so that we can get ourselves out of a jam. But in regards to Jesus Christ, have you ever truly messed up? Peter did. I'm going to take it for granted. At some point in your relationship with Jesus, every single person in here, at one point in time, messed up. Jesus, can you ever forgive me? Could it be, Jesus, that you could forgive what I have done? Could it be that people will never forgive me for what I have done? If the answer come back no, what would happen to you? What if Jesus would not forgive you for what you've done? I mean, we may not just stand up in front of people and go, "I will never deny Jesus." We may not say it and pronounce it, but there have been opportunities to share about Jesus and we've walked away. That's denying Jesus. We were supposed to do something and we chose not to. Jesus, could you ever forgive me? It's a good thing that he can. I've hurt people. Can you ever forgive me for what I've done? Some people refuse, but as a Christian, you are obligated to forgive them. Just a side note, if someone does something and they say, "Will you forgive me?" and you say yes, you better forgive them. You can't hold any grudges. You don't get the privilege of going, "Well, I said I forgive them, but boy, they really got out of it." No. If you forgive them, you forgive them. Jesus, can you ever forgive me for what I've done? I really messed up this time. Lord, can you forgive me? A few weeks ago, we were looking at when Jesus and the disciples were on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. You remember? Jesus came to them as they were making their way in from fishing all night. They fished all night and they were not in Jim's boat, where he catches fish. They fished all night and did not catch a single thing. Remember? As dawn's approaching, they look on the shore and they see somebody, but they don't know who it is. And this stranger tells professional fishermen, "Throw your net on the other side." And they did. That's fascinating to me, because men are men. And now they bring in more fish than they can haul back. Remember? John is the one who says, "Hey, that's the Lord." Peter jumps out of the boat because he's not going to wait. And he makes his way to Jesus. He gets there first. Do you remember? There were seven disciples present. Jesus provides for those disciples. He provides a miracle for them. He provides breakfast for them. And he supplies their needs. You see, they were going to sell those fish. Jesus provided everything that they needed. Jesus provided everything that these disciples needed. You see, there was one disciple in particular who needed something more. It was Peter. And Jesus took care of Peter. Turn to John chapter 21. We'll be here for the rest of our time. John chapter 21. The disciples are now on the shore with Jesus. They are in fellowship with Jesus. They have a meal with Jesus. And Jesus has supplied everything that they needed. But now he addresses Peter. Because you see, Peter needs something more. And Jesus has not provided it yet. Jesus now comes to a very important meeting or relationship with Peter, and it involves his loyalty. It involves his commitment. It involves how much Peter is going to be dedicated to the cause. Now, I wonder why it's Peter that is in need of all of this. In fact, we pick out Peter because he's the main person here. But there were seven disciples on the shore. See, Jesus was providing what all of them needed. Peter just happens to be the example for all of them. Have you ever done something and you knew it was wrong and you knew that people knew about it? And what you're waiting on at this point is for it to be made public. You knew there was going to be recompense for what you have done. The big question is, when's it going to happen? You see, you know that it's going to happen. You just don't know when it's going to happen. Have you ever been to that place where you've done something and now it's coming to light? And now you're trying to figure out, how bad is this going to hurt? You see, Peter was in that way. Peter had done something weeks before. Peter did not forget about it. He remembered exactly what he had done. And I think Peter was probably to the point of, when is this going to come to light? Oh, wait, maybe Jesus forgot about it. If Jesus brings it up, I wonder what he's going to do. Maybe he can really, because he knows everything, maybe he'll give me a break. And Peter had to wait. And when I said Jesus provided everything on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, he did. He provided what Peter really needed to hear, because Peter was waiting on what Jesus was going to do. He knew Jesus was not going to forget. What he was waiting on was his punishment for what he had done. John chapter 21, go to verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Now, immediately what's going through your mind is something you've heard from another preacher somewhere in time. Jesus asked Peter, "How many times do you love me?" The answer is three. Jesus asked Peter, Simon, you know, and let's get this. Who named Peter? Jesus did. What was Peter's name? Simon. So there was a special time when Jesus said Peter, and he called him Peter. He said, "Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me three times? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? What's your reasoning of why Jesus asked Peter three times? It's because he denied him three times. I'm not sure that's it. I'm not sure that's really it. That's an interesting thought. I'm not saying that's not it. But what's really important is what Jesus asked him and Peter's response. You see, Peter knows this is a question of loyalty to Jesus. Jesus knows this. Peter, it's a question of loyalty to me. Jesus did not forget. Peter realizes what's happening right now is Jesus is now addressing the issue of his denial. Just a curious question. When Peter stood up and said, Jesus, I can't speak for everybody else, but I will never deny you. Who was there? Who's everybody? All the disciples were there. And Jesus. Peter stood up and said, I don't know if he stood up, but he made it very well known, because that's Peter. Jesus, I can't speak for these people, but I will never deny you. And then what we shove aside is all the disciples agreed. You know, it's really ironic is the disciples make their way to shore. Jesus takes care of them. He supplies everything they need. And then I think we think, maybe you haven't, but I'm thinking of a story that takes place later in John 21 where Jesus pulls Peter aside and starts to talk to Peter. And then Peter turns back and says, what about him? So I think maybe in our minds we get this picture that Jesus now pulls Peter aside and asks him these three questions in private, because that has to be better. There's nowhere in Scripture that says Jesus pulled Peter aside. So he asked Peter these three questions in front of the disciples. Now let's not pick on Peter too much yet. Verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, so around the campfire, Jesus looks right at Simon Peter and says, Simon, that got his attention and got everyone else's attention. Son of John, just so we don't get the people mixed up of who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you, Peter, son of John. Do you love me more than these? And that question is so fantastic. Jesus says, Simon, do you love me more than these? Now, you may not be the Greek scholar, but there is some simple Greek that takes place here that now gives us meaning to what Jesus is asking Peter. Jesus said, Simon Peter, do you love me? And the Greek word for love there is agape. Now, this is really an interesting question that Jesus asked Peter. And quite honestly, it probably took Peter by surprise. Jesus said, Simon Peter, do you agape me? That agape love has not been presented in Scripture yet. It's not in the New Testament until this point. The disciples didn't know what to do with this. They knew agape, but it really didn't make sense until Jesus asked Simon Peter this. You see, Jesus had used agape before, but now the disciples are getting an insight as to what Jesus really means when he says, do you agape me? Because they did not have an understanding of agape. Agape is a different style of love. It means that you love me sacrificially. You see, so Jesus was asking Simon a really tough question. Simon Peter, do you love me enough that you would die for me? That's a tough question. What if Jesus asked you that? Well, I got a real good job and got a good family. We got things going in the right direction here. And Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you love me enough you would die for me? He just asked Peter that question. And you can't tell me at this point in time, Peter's not putting two and two together. Because Jesus died agape, not only for Peter, not only for the disciples, but he died agape for you. He gave up his very own life because he loves us loves us that much. He now turns to Simon Peter in front of all the other disciples and says, Simon Peter, do you love me enough to die for me? Peter gets it. He's got this thing now. He knows this is the point at which Jesus is going to correct him. Now, he may not like this, but he knew it was coming. And how could Jesus possibly do this in front of everybody? Simple. Peter did it in front of everybody. And we go, well, that's not really nice. But Jesus is constant. He's consistent. If you messed up in public in front of everybody, the correction you can expect is going to come in public in front of everybody. The woman who was caught in adultery, that was with a man, they brought the woman, presented her before Jesus, and said, Jesus, what do you say? Moses says we should stone her because she's committed adultery. Jesus set the Pharisees straight, did he not? Where? Where did he correct them? In front of everybody. You see, their accusation was in a group. The correction will take place within a group. Peter stands up and says, I will never deny you. In front of a group. And now Jesus in front of a group says, Simon Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me to the point that you would die for me? Jesus knew exactly what he was asking. In John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have agape for one another. Jesus used it back in chapter 13. But the disciples aren't getting two and two together. In chapter 15, verse 13 in John, greater love, greater agape has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friend. It's agape. Jesus understands agape. The disciples don't. But now as Jesus turns to Simon Peter, he says, Simon, do you love me enough to die for me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Boy, Peter is awesome, isn't he? What Jesus has asked Peter is, are you willing to die for me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. But you see, here's where Greek is more special than English. Because lots of times we say love and we know what we mean. The Greeks are very specific. I am thinking for the word love, there are seven different words in the Greek language. Jesus said, Simon Peter, do you agape me? Are you willing to die for me? And Peter simply replies, Lord, I phileo you. Peter did not say, Lord, I'm willing to die for you. He did not say that. What he said is, Lord, I love you as a friend. Peter knew exactly what he was speaking. Jesus knew exactly what Peter was speaking. Jesus wants to know, Peter, will you die for me? And Peter says, we're good friends. How committed is Peter to Jesus Christ at this point? He's committed enough to say, we're good buddies. Look at verse 16. Do you think that's the response Jesus wanted from Peter? Peter, are you willing to die for me? And Peter says, Jesus, we're good buddies. We're real good friends. I don't think that's the answer Jesus was looking for. It hasn't gone so good yet. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agape me? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. You see, what Peter has done here is, Lord, you know. You know I love you because you're God. You're the Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep. Jesus asked Peter the second time, Peter, are you willing to give your life for me? And Peter says, Lord, you know that we're good buddies. Jesus says, shepherd my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? You see, Jesus changed the question. Before, Jesus was asking, are you willing to die for me? Peter says, we're good buddies. Jesus now turns to Simon Peter the third time and says, Simon, are we at least good buddies? And Simon says, yes, Lord. Peter grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know some things. He says, you know all things. You know that I love you. I phileo you. Oh, we're good buddies. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Notice what happens the third question. Peter was grieved. You remember, Peter is the guy that stood up in front of everybody and proudly said, I will never deny you. I wonder what's happening to Peter's pride at this point. Notice, at this point, Peter is grieved. Jesus said, Peter, are we at least good friends? Peter's heart would have to sink. You see, he understands exactly what Jesus is asking him. Jesus is not asking, do you love me enough you'll die for me? He's asking, Peter, are we at least really good friends? Peter was hurt. He was grieved. He knew exactly what Jesus was asking him. The three questions may be in response to three denials. Sounds okay. But Jesus is getting a point across. Later on in this chapter, Jesus tells Peter, you will agape me. Peter, you are going to give your life for me. He does it later on. By the way, Peter did agape Jesus. Peter did give his life for Jesus Christ. By the way, just an inkling of some weeks in front of us. Do you see a difference in Peter here in John 21 versus Peter in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost? There's a big difference. I think there's a reason why. Jesus asked Peter these questions, and Peter comes back with, Lord, we're really good friends. I really love you as a friend. And then Jesus does something really weird, and I'm not sure why. Well, I have a real good idea. Peter, do you love me? Peter says, we're good buddies. Jesus said, tend my lambs. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, we're good friends. Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. Jesus said, Peter, are we really good friends? Peter says, yes, you know all things. Jesus said, tend my sheep. There's a couple different words that change here. It's not take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep. It's tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and tend my sheep. This is awesome, great news for Peter. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Tend my lambs. Peter, do you love me? I love you. Shepherd my sheep. Peter, do you love me? I love you. Tend my sheep. You see, what Jesus is doing here is reinstating Peter. Peter has been waiting to get reprimanded. He does. But look at what Jesus is doing in the process. Matter of fact, this is great for Christians. It's a great example. Do Christians ever mess up? Yep. Do Christians ever mess up in the church? Yep. Do Christians ever mess up with each other? Yep. So we tend to hold a grudge. I don't like them anymore. I'm not sitting in the same pew with that person. I'm not even going to shake their hand when I leave. I'm going to give them the cold shoulder. What did Jesus do? Here's a guy that said, Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. And then weaned out. Jesus corrected him, did he not? But at the same point in time, this has to be one of the best messages Peter has ever heard. Because what has happened is, Peter really messed up, and Jesus forgives him. Yeah, but you don't understand. Peter really messed up. Yeah, but what you need to understand is Jesus forgave him. Now look at how he forgives him. Peter, do you love me? Yep. Tend my lambs. We're going by this farm out here on 212 a couple weeks ago, and there was not only sheep in the field. There were little ones about this big. They need special care. You just can't treat them like you do a full-grown adult sheep. They need special care because they're lambs. They're babies. And what Jesus has just told Peter is, these babies, these immature Christians will need someone that can take care of them. Peter, it will be you. That's great news for Peter. Why? Because Peter's probably thinking at this point, I messed up so much, and Jesus is asking me these questions because he's kicking me out of the church. But instead of kicking Peter out of the church, he now gives him responsibility and ministries within the church. Take care of my little ones. Peter, do you love me? Yep. Shepherd my sheep. Now, what is a shepherd? A shepherd seems to provide everything, don't they? Not just food, but a shepherd provides teaching, safety, instruction. Oh, that's good. Instruction. So, Jesus, is what you're telling me is, I'm going to get to instruct Christians? Now think about Pentecost. He gets to not only take care of newborns, he gets to take care and instruct full-grown adults. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Take care of them. Provide what they need. You see, Jesus is correcting, but he's encouraging and now lifting Peter up. If we're really honest, we would have to say, Jesus, at least one point in my Christian walk with you, I have failed you. At least one point, I sinned against you. At least at one point, I had a sin of omission. You told me to do something, and I refused. Sins of commission. Jesus, you told me not to do this, but I did it anyway. If Jesus could use Peter after he flat out denied him, what does that say about whatever you have done against Jesus? He can restore me. He can forgive me. Now think about this. This was all done in front of the disciples. They have to be smiling at this point. Not that Peter has been reprimanded, but if Jesus reinstated Peter for what he did, what am I going to get to do now? If Jesus forgave Peter, Jesus can forgive me. Jesus can forgive you. There's nothing that you haven't done that Jesus can't forgive. Sin of omission, commission, doesn't matter. Jesus can forgive you. You see, he wants you to be vital in the church and in the world, not to be a person of no use. He wants you. You see, Peter has now been cleared of all charges. Not only cleared of charges, but now he actually has a ministry in front of him. And so do all the disciples. Matter of fact, disciples, do you agape me? You see, there was only one disciple that did not die for Jesus Christ. Executed, crucified, whatever, flayed. That really gets me. Flayed mean they tore your skin off. Only one died naturally. John pretty much lets us know, this is the disciple whom Jesus really loved. It's me. He's the only one that died naturally. Have you ever done anything that Jesus could not forgive? But in your pride to cover it up or to reason out of it is not the answer. The way that you get out of it is to confess it to Jesus and let him forgive you. I don't know what you may have done in the past. I don't know what you may have done this morning. But I do know this, if you ask, he will forgive. And by the way, Jesus has something for each of us to do. So your ministry is not done. Amen? Amen.